T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
So yeah, Tom Puckett's all dressed up, looking great, looking professional. So during his newscast, I told Alan Harris and Brendan Keeney, I said, by the way, guys, Puckett has just set the new standard for newsroom attire. From now on, it is shirts and ties for all of you. To which they responded, does that include you talk show hosts? And I said, yes, I suppose it probably should, but you have to wait until I lose my blimp weight, which begins tomorrow, and I can start fitting into my decent clothes again. I am doing Ideal You, and we talked about that actually on the air, and I'm not getting it for free. I'm paying exactly what you would pay, so this is not a quid pro quo. It is not plugola. But I decided to try Ideal You. And one of the things about Ideal You is zero alcohol. And they are major sticklers on that for the very simple reason that it could actually kill you. So in that I do not have a death wish, I will not be consuming alcohol. So several of my newsroom colleagues said, well, Tom, you'd best get your drinking in over the next couple of nights. All right. Thank you for the advice. 10 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So here's the deal. If there is interest in this topic, I will continue it. If not, I've got a bunch of topics each and every day that I am ready to go to at a moment's notice. And we've been talking about the impeachment inquiry and your sense for where it is going to end. And there's also breaking news out of Ukraine that I still haven't even touched upon. And there is a story, you know, let me take the calls first before I get into the newer developments or my spin on what has happened today. Let me just say this also quickly before I take phone calls. If you will notice, today, again, Vice President Mike Pence's name has come up in being involved in quid pro quo hanky-panky with Ukraine. Now, if Donald Trump and Mike Pence both resign or are removed from office, the President of the United States is then whom? Question mark, question mark, question mark. It's a bigger picture here, folks. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. And by the way, you do not have to agree with me about Donald Trump to get on the air, okay? That's not the point. Let's go to Jim in Cheektowaga. You are on WBEN. Welcome to the show. Thanks for holding.
No problem, Tom. But the only thing, I'm ashamed to be called a Democrat because of what they're doing. To me, this is just a witch hunt. They just don't like him from day one because their candidate didn't win. That's my feeling. But I don't like everything he's done, like texting. I don't think he should. But I,
well, you mean going on Twitter. The president doesn't use a cell phone.
Well, Twitter, whatever.
Yeah, post. I mean, we live in a 144-character world.
Yeah. But my feeling, this is
actually more than
that. Hate crime. I think this is more of a hate crime that all the Democrats don't like him, and I think this is considered a hate crime. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but that's what I feel.
I wouldn't call it a hate crime for the reason that President Trump is not a member of an aggrieved class of people. To me, and you're welcome to disagree with this, this has more of a feel of a legalized coup d'etat about it. You recall what I just said about bringing Vice President Mike Pence into the situation today. If Donald Trump and Mike Pence are out of the picture, who then becomes the President of the United States?
I hate to say this, but Pelosi, I believe.
You are correct.
And she's just as worse. She doesn't want to even do nothing where she lives, where they have needles and human feces in the road, and she ain't doing nothing about that.
Yeah, what is it about the expression human feces that always makes us cringe?
Well, I don't want to swear on these.
For which we thank you greatly. Although there are times when the excremental commonplace word would be superior, but we don't do that on the radio. So you are a Democrat, and I have to ask you, in that you have so little regard for the Democrat Party of 2019, in which, by the way, President John F. Kennedy, and look, Rush has talked about this. I think Sandy Beach has talked about this. Not exactly a new thought I'm having here, but John F. Kennedy would be considered a radical conservative Democrat today.
Yes, you're right. You're right. I was way young when he was in office. I think I was 3 or 4 years old. And I've been a Democrat since I was 18, and I'm 60 now. And I think I'm getting ready to change my party. I don't know what party I want to go to, as long as it ain't the Communist Party.
Well, I wish, well, that might be where your party currently is heading. But the other thing, too, though, about the political situation in 2019 is that for as much confusion as there is in the Republican Party, I think the Democrats are also in a state of disarray, and there's a power struggle going on between the Pelosiites and the AOCites. And don't lose track of that either. That looming down the road is going to be a very major issue for the Dems.
Right. I'm sorry. Last election and local elections, I voted straight Republican. I'm sorry. Even though a couple of Republicans I didn't like, but I voted that way just to put my protest vote in. Basically.
Well, I am not a registered Republican, and maybe I should be embarrassed to say this, but I typically vote an almost all Republican ticket. I do vote for Democrats, and believe it or not, I have financially supported a Democrat town supervisor candidate.
Well, I've done that myself in the past, but I think the way the Democrats are treating the president is totally wrong. I still say it's a hate crime because Hillary didn't win, and they're all petoed about it, I'll put it that way. And
not betoed, but PO'd.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Thank you for the call. I appreciate hearing from you.
Thanks, Tom.
Yep.
The good work up.
Well, I shall try. And before everybody gets too excited with the hate email, I gave $40 to my friend's campaign for a town supervisor's position. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Here is Paul on a cell phone. Paul, impeachment inquiry. Where do you see everything heading? What's your take?
I think it's going to pass probably where the Democrats want it to, and it won't pass where the Republicans are.
So, in other words, just so I understand you clearly, you believe he will be impeached or indicted in the House, but then acquitted at trial in the Senate?
Yep, that's what I think.
How closely have you been paying attention to it, Paul?
Really, mostly I've been listening to what you'd say our opinionated programming about it. I have not been, and I catch news briefs at the top and bottom of the hour and make a comparison between the two without mentioning the shows I listen to. Obviously, I listen to this one.
Well, and I appreciate that, and I hope you also listen to Sandy Beach, 9 to noon, Rush Limbaugh, noon to 3, and then Sean Hannity starting at 7 o'clock, and Michael Savage after that.
I do. The whole day of programming, I do. And that's where I get that take, and plus some other information that I based my voting on in the 2016 presidential election was, based on a program I saw about Saul Alinsky, and researching into that, then I realized where I've been going all this time, so I changed quick with that. But, just to keep my sanity, I kind of look at this as like it's almost like, because it's so make-believe, everything seems to be made up and twisted by the one party, that I kind of just want to try to get a chuckle in the audience a little bit. It's not a laughing matter for sure, but it kind of is like a spoof on a horror film, and Pelosi and Schiff are the star critters or creatures in a horror movie.
You know, it reminds me, what you're saying reminds me, Paul, of something I said before, that the words that come to mind are surreal and parallel universe.
Yeah, yeah, and you, after you had said that and heard you say that, I kind of got the idea, yeah, it is kind of like a, it's like a spoof on a, in a made-up movie. I mean, it's like really so bizarre. But anyways, thank you for hearing me out, and I keep on listening, and have a good evening.
And I appreciate that more than you could possibly know each and every day to each and every one of you. Listening to this program. It is very, very much appreciated. I never, ever take it for granted. Take that to the bank. Let's go back to the calls, and it is Mike in Orchard Park. I thank you for your patience. It is your turn.
I appreciate it, Tom. Listen, this whole thing is just, it's very sad, and it's very disheartening. I was actually just texting with a Washington lobbyist who told me his view is that Trump, you know, which I share for what it's worth, will be impeached but will not be convicted because they're not going to get 20 Republican senators to flip on him. And I, what bothers me most, I think, is the lack of objectivity. You know, what holds us together as a nation, we disagree on certain things, you know, how to spend the money, what policy courses to take, et cetera. But we've never lost sight, I think, as a country, of the ideal that we have equality of opportunity but not equality of outcome, and that the common rule of law binds us all together. And I wonder if we're losing that right now. You know, I consider myself very middle of the road, and I hear the Republican defenses, which seem to vacillate from perfect call to lack of character on one of the witnesses to, well, the Bidens did something wrong, so it's okay if he did something wrong too, to now I guess it's going to be Rudy Giuliani. But this is my guess, is that the firewall is Rudy Giuliani. It ends with him. And I just I wonder if we're ever going to get back to a point where we just say, you know, the important thing here is what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, frankly, as a lawyer, I can tell you that criminals rarely announce their intent. You know, usually you prove intent by circumstantial evidence. And I don't know whether Trump demanded a quid pro quo. I don't know whether he's guilty. I'd like to hear all the evidence before I pass judgment on that. But I have to say, he strikes me as somebody who's acting like a guilty man. You know, if you have nothing to hide, well, then release anything that doesn't relate to national security, allow the witnesses to testify, and frankly, see where it goes.
Well, wouldn't that also apply to the Democrats barring the Republicans from calling witnesses from whom to get the other side of the story?
You know, it depends on the witness, too, you know, and I think...
But as an attorney, as you know, I mean, Law 101, there are always two sides to every story.
Yeah, there are, but Law 102 is that not every witness is called in a trial, and the reason is sometimes the evidence is more prejudicial or distant than it is probative. For instance, if, you know, and I don't know this because I've heard a lot of the testimony, but I haven't listened to it, and I know that you're aware of the distinction given what you do. If we're going to get into collateral questions about witness credibility, for instance, we don't have many trials with respect to each witness. So I can't speak to whether the Democrats should allow the Republicans to call certain witnesses. I don't know the answer to that, but my sense is from the way the defense has been mounted that, you know, not every witness that they want perhaps should be called. But that, too, is whataboutism. And the reality is, if you've got the documents in the State Department, I heard Sondland testify today that there are certain things that he has that would have helped refresh his recollection that he's not permitted access to. Maybe there's a good reason for that. Maybe those things relate to national security. But my view is, you know, if you got nothing to hide, don't hide anything. And the last point is this. One of the things that frustrates me most is the lack of objectivity. And, you know, generally, I think you're very intelligent. I like listening to you, and we might not agree on all things, but I think you're a very reasonable person. One thing I didn't like to hear was the concern that Nancy Pelosi might become president. Now, in a vacuum, that's fine. But the problem is, you know, we shouldn't not remove somebody who committed a crime. You know, and again, this is an assumption that wrongdoing was committed simply because we don't like what the alternative is. Right? You know, we shouldn't put politics above law. And I have a problem with that. And I hope that as a country, we can sort of move away from that and do what's right.
Well, no, I suggested that because more and more we're hearing about Mike Pence's involvement. And what concerns me is that we may be seeing a legalized version of a coup d'etat taking place in America to nullify the will of the voters in 2016.
Well, frankly, that's rampant speculation. And the reality is...
I don't know that it's rampant speculation. I mean, it's a real possibility.
Well, here's the thing. Coup d'etat presumes that nothing was done wrong. And my point is that if we have a president who has committed a crime, and the crime is a high one under the Constitution.
But what crime do you think he has committed? Give me a specific crime.
You know, I can't cite the USC right now and tell you that he violated, say, 8 USC 1324. There's no doubt about that. However, from what I have heard today, he has conditioned the release of monies that were approved by Congress for the defense of the Ukraine, a frontline defense against Russian aggression, which in theory keeps Russian aggression from creeping closer to U.S. interests, on the conduct of a political investigation that would have benefited him. Now, you know, again, can I tell you it violates a certain federal statute? No, I can't.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that that's a very important component to your opinion, especially given the fact you say you are an attorney, because I'm trying to figure out what crime we're actually talking about, because one day we hear quid pro quo, the next day we hear bribery, then we hear extortion. I'll be happy to talk to you more after the news break, but I have to break, and I am appreciating the conversation. It is 27 after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Technically, not a Kiss song. It is Ace Frehley. And right now, if you are caller number 9, it's 644-9875, 644-9875. You shall win a pair of tickets to Kiss, the End of the Road Tour. Wednesday, February 5th at KeyBank Center. Minimum value $80, courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Caller number 9 at 644-9875. Good luck from News Radio 930 WBEN. Talking about the impeachment proceedings, where are you on those? What do you think the outcome is going to be? Are you gravitating toward them, or are you basically looking at them like the Frankenstein monster? And joining us right now is a guy who says he is an attorney. We have no reason to doubt that whatsoever. But he thinks Donald Trump is dirty. You know, you expressed some concern about Mike, are you there?
Yeah. I didn't say he's dirty. I said I have some questions about what's going on right now. And I did express concern with respect to your comment about the coup d'etat. And I'll walk it back a second. Your point about my inability to identify the statute or the statutes that may have been violated by the president through all of this this activity, it's a fair one. And I think, frankly, it's better directed toward those who are making the case for impeachment. I'm not the prosecutor. It's not my job to look that stuff up. And I wonder if we'll see that rectified if and when we do see articles of impeachment, because I would imagine the articles act like an indictment, would identify whatever crime or high misdemeanor, high crime or misdemeanor may have been committed. That said, you know, I do think I don't like to make assumptions, but number one, I would imagine we wouldn't have traveled this far down this road if there wasn't the statutory violation at issue here. Number two, although it's a poor analogy, I think what's going on here are complaints about the misuse of federal funds, kind of like, you know, back in the day when Jimmy Griffin used city workers to pave the parking lot at St. Thomas Aquinas. Everybody knew it was wrong. I don't know what statute the official misconduct was prescribed in, but we all know, frankly, that what happened there wasn't right, and likely it was some sort of misdemeanor. Now, that having been said, back to the political point.
Just time out. I wasn't trying to rag on you for not knowing U.S. Code chapter and verse. Nobody does.
No. It's okay, Tom. I understand. But, I think your point's a fair one, though. And I think it's something that is directed toward messaging, right? You know, if you're going to take a drastic step, such as impeaching and seeking conviction of a president, an official such as the president, you got to be able to make your case very clearly. And I think the point is well taken in that respect.
And has you, again, as an attorney, has the case been made clearly? And I asked that question on the basis of the goalposts seem to change every day. One minute it's quid pro quo, which is as old as the Romans and the Greeks. The next minute it's extortion. The next minute it is bribery. It almost seems like the prosecution, if you will, is all over the place in search of a criminal offense.
You know, I don't necessarily see it that way. I'm going to reserve judgment on this until I hear the testimony from everybody. My observations that I made at the outset of a phone call stand. I think that the innocent man doesn't try to hide. And I do understand that there are reasons not to disclose certain, you know, information that might relate to national security or that affects national interests. I get that. That said, I also believe that what you're talking about in terms of extortion, bribery, and quid pro quo, they're birds of the same feather. So I'm not bothered by that shape-shifting as much. Again, I think that relates more to messaging. You know, if you ask in my opinion right now, I think the prosecution is working its way up the chain. We are hearing from people who present essentially hearsay evidence. There's no doubt about that because we haven't gotten to the sources yet. So that to me is natural. I think I hear a lot of distractions on the other side. You know, as I said, my view is the defense seems to take a different tack almost daily, and I think we're getting to the point where Giuliani is going to be the firewall. But one thing I'd like to comment on that.
See, respectfully, if I might interject, respectfully, that is why I would like to see the Republicans able to call witnesses they can call so we can do away with a lot of the hearsay testimony and hear straight from the horse's mouth.
Well, that, you know, and on that point, I think we agree. I don't agree that any witness should be able to be called. You know, if we're going to talk about somebody who wants to mention what Hunter Biden did in 2014 or 15 or whatever, it's extraneous. It doesn't matter. Right or wrong, it doesn't matter. You know, I think you and I would agree that we should probably hear from Secretary Pompeo at this point, that Rudy Giuliani probably should be in front of Congress subject to concerns about attorney-client privilege. I'm not necessarily sure they apply here, but on that front, I think that we're on the same page. And the last point on the hearsay issue, we've heard a lot about the whistleblower. That, to me, is a tremendous distraction. The whistleblower essentially reported things that he heard, perhaps secondhand. Those claims, my understanding is, were investigated by somebody from the Inspector General's office. They were deemed to have merit. That got us here. And now these hearings, which you know, have been done in the open, are designed to test the veracity of those claims. So hearing from the whistleblower, point being, he or she, whoever it is not going to tell you anything, likely won't tell you anything beyond what you see or you have seen in the report, or that would be firsthand information. That comes from up the chain, and that comes from the people who were involved in these conversations.
Mike, I have to get to some other folks, and I just have a question, and I do not mean by this question any disrespect whatsoever, because, you know, we all come from issues from our various backgrounds and our various experiences and training. And do you think that there is a chance that you are thinking too much like an honorable lawyer in this and not enough like a dishonorable political type?
Oh, come on. I could be both, Tom. You never know.
No, but I didn't want to be disrespectful. I mean, I'm going to presume you are an honorable attorney. And as we all know, political creatures are something altogether different.
Yeah, something like that. No, I understand your point. I do think a lot of this is about messaging. That's why I see the press conferences and breaks. And the points that I'm making, they are legalese, but I think they're fair ones, though, too. I, honestly, as a lawyer, if I hear one more thing about the whistleblower, I want to tear my hair out. A, the person's entitled to protection under the law. And B, whatever he said or she is going to say in front of Congress, it doesn't matter. Get to the best evidence. Get to the source. Bring Pompeo. Bring the other players in, and let's just find the truth.
That's— See, I feel the same way about quid pro quo, because quid pro quo is – that's just the way governments operate, always have, always will.
I think to a point, and here's where I think you and I part ways on that. Number one, the quid pro quo, perhaps for the White House meeting, it would be acceptable. I don't know about that. My sense is it probably wouldn't. For the taxpayer funds that were approved by Congress that were to be used for the defense of this nation, it's absolutely not. It's just wrong. And I think the absence of a clear quid pro quo, in other words, something written out or spelled out. Look, you know, I hate to draw an allusion or a reference to The Sopranos, but do you remember the episode where Tony said, I'm going to give my orders to Christopher so I can't be tied to it?
Vividly.
Same kind of sense. It's the same concept. You get what I'm talking about here.
Well, you're creating a buffer, as you called it, I think, before, a firewall. But just one more question. It's like I'm enjoying the conversation, so I got to limit myself to one more question, and it is, as you read the transcript of the telephone call between President Trump and Zelensky, as an attorney, looking through your attorney's training, do you see anything that was improper about that phone call or anything that appeared on the surface to merit a criminal investigation?
I have scanned the transcript. I have not read it carefully, but the one thing that catches my eye is it's chock full of ellipses. There's a lot of things that aren't there. And I don't know. I can't sit here or stand here and say that the transcript would have been enough to have catalyzed these proceedings. That having been said, I don't believe it's a perfect phone call. And I also wonder what hasn't been reported. To me, that's troubling.
All right, that's fair enough. Mike, I'm glad you called. Thanks very much. What is your specialty in law, by the way?
No, little of this, little of that, right? You know, faking my way, tricking people into thinking I'm smart.
Well, okay, well, that's a big part of being a talk show host. But are you like more a trial lawyer type, an insurance lawyer type? I'm just curious.
A little bit of everything here and there. I've been lucky to have a variety of experiences, and I've touched a lot of things. So I wouldn't say that I have a specialty. I guess I'm not allowed to say I have an expertise. But I'm here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Thanks a lot. I'm glad you called.
Appreciate it, bro. Talk to you.
It is 4:47 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Let's go to Scott in Williamsville. Scott, the impeachment proceedings. Are you riveted? Are you bored? What do you think the outcome is going to be?
Never in the course of American history, Tom, has one president been under such scrutiny as the current president. If we turned the world upside down and made our media right-wing media, I would think that our former president, Barack Hussein Obama, probably would have been kicked out of office within, his first two terms. What this president has been going through is nothing more than it's ridiculous.
But, I can't disagree, and it's hard for me to say this without sounding like I'm patting myself on the back, but this is exactly what I warn people about who I thought had unrealistic expectations about President Trump going to Washington and somehow with just the imperial majesty of the presidency being able to drain the swamp. I warned people that he would be up against the stiffest opposition each and every day. And unfortunately, I think that's exactly what we've seen.
Well, it is exactly what we've seen. And the reason for his tweets, as much as his admirers, as much as the people who are on his side, kind of cringe when he does these things, it's to keep the opposition off balance, in my opinion. They're always on the offense, but when he tweets these crazy things, it makes them respond, and now they're on the defense. So, there is a method to his madness. So I have no problem with whatever he wants to tweet, as crazy and
somebody I know who was very highly placed at the Defense Intelligence Agency, a.k.a. the DIA, and who was a master at PSYOPs, says President Trump is an absolute master of PSYOPs.
I would agree with you because he is.
Oops. I gotta have you hold on. We gotta get the update, but I'm gonna get right back to you, okay? Just don't hang up.
Go ahead.
And let us return. It's Scott, right, to Phil on line one. Scott, you're back with us on WBEN. I apologize for having to interrupt your call and your train of thought.
No, that's okay. Look, whether you're listening to ABC News propaganda on your station, looking at the Buffalo News looking at CNN, PMSNBC, ABC, NBC, it's the onslaught is every day. They have an agenda, and they've given up any thought of journalism.
Even the pretense, I think, of objectivity. I mean, I think that even people on the other side politically would agree that journalism is really dead.
And it's unfortunate because, when I was a lad growing up and I was, 13 or 14, I'm a 58-year-old man, and I would hear stories of Pravda in the USSR and thinking to myself, how can those people live under these conditions where they're fed, you know, lies? And now it's come full circle to the U.S. If you believe what you're told by the mainstream media, then you're drinking the Kool-Aid. And if you don't have a brain for yourself, then, you know, this nation is in serious trouble, because I think that most of the people believe what they see on ABC, CBS, and NBC. It's unfortunate.
And, you know, here's the thing, and I know Sandy Beach and Rush Limbaugh have both talked about this previously. It doesn't simply stop at the news. It extends to sitcoms. It extends to the late-night, quote-unquote, comedy shows. It is unrelenting, even on Sirius XM. I subscribe to Sirius XM because, you know, this is what I do for a living, and I like to have access to as much of it as I possibly can. But it's very rare that there is anything like an anti-Democrat political joke. It's always going after the Republicans, whether it's George Bush or Donald Trump.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, and I agree with you, Tom. It's pervasive through every, you know, part of our society.
And let's think about the public schools. How many parents out there have had their kids come home and tell them that Donald Trump is the worst human being who's ever walked the face of the planet?
You know, I have two kids. My oldest one is a snowflake. My youngest one, I've been able to influence to some extent, and she's more conservative. But once they get into college, it's a coin toss.
Yeah, and people have a hard time believing this, but when I tell you guys that I always told my kids that they had to reach their own political conclusions, I meant it. I never jammed my beliefs down their throats at all. I said, just try to get both sides of the story, figure out what's what, and act according to your conscience. I'm never going to disown you because you disagree with me.
Yeah, and I don't either. And my snowflake, I love her to death, and I respect her views, but I just think that as she gets older, maybe her views will change. Thanks for taking my call, Tom. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. You know, we do have a rather unconventional divorced family, and I'm happy to say that my ex-wife is going to be joining the Bowerly family Thanksgiving this year and hanging out with everybody else in the family, and it's going to be super cool. And I don't know how many people are able to do that or how many people do that, but as I've said, she is, despite an acrimonious divorce, she's one of my best friends and closest confidants. She's an amazing woman. I could go on and on about my ex-wife. She's just a wonderful human being. It is 4:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.